today, Mi'as Hashem, there'll be one some point early next week, and then Bechina Mi'as Hashem will be on Thursday. I used to give out a list of svarim that I thought were helpful in terms of your greater limud of Hilchos Erevin, but beyond this miniature limud, but there's so many svarim now that the Daf Yomi did air, you know, more recently, a few years ago. There's so many svarim in Erevin, you don't really need my Bekitzer list. There's so many that are worthwhile. Most of the ones that you've heard of are very good, and would be helpful for you to have in your library. Before we get started, we're going to try to go off state of the Mishnah Berurah. Before we get started, I always like to make one general comment about Erevin, and that is that there are two attitudes with regards to Erevin that you might already be aware of, or you should be aware of. And one, as a Rav, is important to be sensitive to both attitudes. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Erevin, of Samuel Zayn Mabez, that there was once a bris milah, and the practice always was, even though it's not the practice today, to wash the baby in hot water prior to the milah to serve as an antiseptic, and then after the milah also to prevent infection. So it once happened that there was a bris milah on Shabbos, and Rabbi told Abaye, and the water that they had prepared spilled. So Rabbi told Abaye, go bring water from a neighboring house. Abaye told him, we can't, we don't have an Erev here. So the Mordechai says that you see from the assumption of Rabbah was that in the town where Abaye was a Rav, certainly there would be an Erev. That's what he was assumed until Abaye informed him that there was no Erev. And in fact, the Tshuvas HaRosh writes that the responsibility of the Rav of each town to make sure that there is an Erev in the town. And that is based on, loosely from this comment, the assumption of Rabbah. And therefore, there are those who feel that it's their responsibility or it's incumbent upon the community to make sure that there is an Erev in the community, and we will go to great lengths to fulfill that mandate, even if it entails relying on certain reliable kulos, but kulos nonetheless. However, there is another attitude which is out there with regards to Erevin, which is based more on the mission of Masechtas Erevin and Daf Nuntesimet Aleph, which Rabbi Shechter mentioned, which is that an ear shall rabim ein ma'arvenes kula. An ear that is has a Rishus HaRabim within it, you're not allowed to be ma'arev the entire city, lest people come to forget about the Iser of Haitzah in general. There was an Iser Haitzah here midairaisa with the Rishus HaRabim. Now that we're ma'arev the city, people might come to forget about the Iser of Haitzah. And this indicates that we should not be so cavalier with regards to Erevin and instituting Erevin, because people will come to forget about the Iser of Haitzah. It wasn't too long ago that there was no, in my time in Yeshiva, there was no Erev here in Washington Heights, not in the greater Washington Heights, and not on the YU campus either. As long as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was alive, there was no Erev on YU campus. It was only actually on that side of Amsterdam Avenue, but it didn't cross Amsterdam Avenue because Rav Aaron was opposed to it. And then Kedarkenu HaKadosha here in our yeshiva, after Rav Aaron passed away, I think Teich Shana, an Erev went up across Amsterdam Avenue. And then from there, you know, Nafsa Kolaritz. From there, the Erev extended even further. But that's recent, last 10, 15 years. So you'd have people come here, they never heard of, you couldn't, if you had, let's say, davened in the main base medrash, this building didn't exist, you always davened in the other base medrash, you had to cross Amsterdam Avenue. So if you lived in the morgue or Reuben, you couldn't take your key with you to daven. So maybe a couple of Kunsten, put it here, put it there. But you'd have people who never encountered a place in their entire life. You'd have Talmidim come to yeshiva where there was no Erev. Didn't exist, you know, wherever they had grown up, there'd always been an Erev. So this is definitely an issue and an area of concern, is that people will forget about the Yisra of Haitzah in general. In fact, in Rav Moshe's tshuva about building the Erev in Manhattan and all of the different concerns that he has and those that are attributed to him, Rav Moshe's main concern, which is surprising, is that people will come to Manhattan from all over the world and they'll see that if there's an Erev in Manhattan, that the people are carrying in Manhattan, and they'll derive that all from Jews carry on Shabbos, and they won't know that it's because there's an Erev going around Manhattan. They'll think there's just no Iser Haitzah. So in the tshuva of the Rav who built the Erev in Manhattan, from Rav Menachem Kasher, who Shechter mentioned, in his tshuva to Divrei Menachem, at the end he has there a letter from Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was very opposed to this argument for Rav Moshe, that people come from all over, and therefore they're going to think that there's no Iser Haitzah if there's an Erev in Manhattan. He was opposed to that premise. But that is an attitude that's out there as well, is that we should not be so cavalier about building Erevin, because it will lead to people forgetting about the Iser Haitzah and being over on the Isar of Haitzah. In fact, in the Sefer Mayan Beis Hashoeva from Rav Schwab, who was the, after Rabbi Breuer, was the Rav in the Breuer's community on the other side of Washington Heights, which was always classically opposed to building Erevin, and there was no Erevin the other side of Washington Heights again until more recently. So he writes in his Sefer Mayan Beis Hashoeva on Parshas Vayakel that the reason why he's opposed to it is not because Rav Moshe said you can't build an Erevin in Manhattan, which is what they all say now. That's not why he was opposed to it. If you look there, he says it's because he quotes the Gemara in a few places that we don't blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyahs B'Shabbos, we don't blow read Megillas Esther, and Purim Shechaliyahs B'Shabbos, because of the Gzera de Rabba, Shema Yavirenu Da'at Amos B'Shus HaRabim. Maybe you'll carry it four Amos in the B'Shus HaRabim, B'Yover on the Yisr of Haitzah. So he asks, how common was that? You'll take the shofar to a bucky to teach you how to blow, and you'll be Mavir Da'at Amos B'Shus HaRabim. You won't even be Maitzi from your Shus L'Rishus. You'll pick it up in the B'Shus HaRabim, and then put it down in the B'Shus HaRabim. We'll get to it in a second. That's the fear? So far-fetched. He says, yes, you see from here that Chazal went to great lengths to protect the Isur of Haitzah. So, and therefore, perhaps we as well should go to great lengths to make sure that the Isur of Haitzah is well known about and protected. It's interesting that Chassidim, for the most part, are very open to building Erevin. This is from a comment of the Baal Shem Tov that's quoted in the Sefer Beis Aaron, based on the Pasuk in Chabakuk, of Bizam Titzad Eretz, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu marches through the land in anger, and that prevents the Mashiach from coming. So the Baal Shem Tov felt that in order to hasten the coming of Mashiach, we have to be Mesaken Zam, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he held was a Rashi Tevos, for Zvicha, kosher food, have a kosher Shchita, Erevin, and Mikvos. So the Baal Shem Tov felt that he was one of his Tafkidim in life, was to make sure that there was kosher Mikvos, as our Chassidim are very makbid on Mikvos, and Erevin. So they go to great lengths to make sure that there are Erevin in their towns. Anyway, these two attitudes are out there. Sometimes it breaks along Chassidish lines or Litvish lines. Sometimes it's other fault lines where these two attitudes emerge, and it's important to be sensitive to each one of them. They both have Mekayim and Mekayim Tahar, and we have to find a balance between the two. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and Avava Min Aleph that there are four Rishuyos with regards to Shabbos. Well, let's take a step back even. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Shabbos and Daf Mem Tesmet Aleph that the word Malacha appears 39 times in connection with Shabbos, and that comes to teach us that there are 39 Malachas Shabbos. And the Gemara derives that the 39 major categories of Malacha that were used in the Malachas HaMishkan are the 39 categories of Malacha that are prohibited on Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel lists all 39 of his melachos, the last of which is haitzah mirishus lishus, taking something out from one rishus to the other rishus, that was found in the melachos HaMishkan. As they were traveling, they would put the items on the agalos, which was kind of a haitzah mirishus lishus, or perhaps when they were donating to the Mishkan, the people were giving from the Machane Levi and the Machane Yisrael, or into the... It was going from one Rishus to the other Rishus, whether it was donating to the Mishkan or in the travels of the Mishkan. Either way, Haitzah Mirishus Rishus was found in the Mishkan. It's one of the last of the 39 Avos Melachos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and the Afsadi Vavim Mebeis brings a Pasuk as a source for this Isur of Haitzah. As the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayakel, Vayikolei Ha'ome Havi, they stopped bringing in their donations for the Mishkan because Shabbos had arrived and you were no longer able to carry. So the Gemara has its source from a pasuk. None of the other melachos, perhaps havara, but none of the other melachos, for the most part, have a pasuk, their own pasuk that's assigned to them. Why does Haitzah warrant its own pasuk? So the Taisus explains at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos a famous comment that it's because Haitzah melacha gruahi. We never would have thought to include Haitzah in the list of significant activities that took place in the Melachos HaMishkan were not for the fact that there was an explicit pasuk, because Haitzah is a melacha grua. It's an inferior melacha. What that means is nothing really changes. Most melacha Shabbos, you change something. You planted, it grew, you cut it, you built something, you destroyed something, you colored something, you erased something. Here, nothing changed. It just moved from place to place. We would not have thought that was a significant activity in the Melachos HaMishkan that would warrant it being included in the list of Lamentes Avos Melachos, but therefore we have an explicit pasuk by Yikalei Ha'ameh Havi to teach us that this is in fact included in the list of Lamentes Avos Melachos, the last one. Besides Haitzah Mirishus L'Rishus, which is what took place in Melachos HaMishkan, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos and Perek HaZorek there, Tzadi Vav area, that there's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that Hamavir Da'ot Amos B'Rishus HaRabim is also Chayiv. The first chiyuv of the av melacha is to pick it up, to do an akira in one rishus, pick it up and put it down in another rishus. Switching from rishus hayachat to rishus harabim, or vice versa. But halacha l'maishim misina is that ma'avir da'ot amas b'rishus harabim, picking it up in the rishus harabim, walking four amas and putting it down in the rishus harabim, is also asa midaraisa halacha l'maishim misina. The Baal HaMor there writes, Masechta the Shabbos is not as different from hoitzom rishus l'rishus as we might think, that the reason why ma'avir da'ot amas b'rishus harabim is asa is because it's like moving it from one place A to place B. Every da'ot amas is like its own nuclear place. So you move it, you know, like personal space. So you moved it from my, you know, this personal space, you know, into that space. So Da'at Amas B'Rishus HaRabim could also be a kind of a more expanded view of Moitzim or the Rishus HaRishus. Okay, but that is the basic contours of the Iser of Haitzah Midoraisa. So when it comes to Haitzah Midoraisa, again, as we said, you're only chayv if you're Moitzi, it's from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or Ma'avir Da'at Amas B'Rishus HaRabim. But the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and the Vav Med Aleph that there are four Rishuyos with regards to Shabbos, it lists different Rishuyos. One of the Rishuyos that's listed there is, besides Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, is also Mokom Ptur, which is neither Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. As we'll see, there are certain standards that you have to conform to either be a Rishus HaYochid or be a Rishus HaRabim. Once it conforms to neither, that would be called a Mokom Ptur. It's interesting that the Yerushalmi Masechta Shabbos also brings a list of Rishuyos, and Makom Ptur is not one of them. So Menachem Zemba has a famous little sefer called Toitzah Chaim on the Isser of Hoitzah, where he thinks that perhaps this is significant in terms of how do we view a Makom Ptur, and we'll come up with a Maisa. Is a Makom Ptur its own Rishus? It's neither Rishus HaYachad nor Rishus HaRabim, but it is its own classification, or perhaps Makom Ptur is just not either one, it's just, you know, kind of limbo. There is no Rishus Makom Ptur, and that's why it's not reflected in the time of Yerushalmi. It's just like the E-Rishus, the neither this nor that. And as we'll see, it could be that this comes up Lomaisa, does Makom Ptur have the status of a Rishus, or it's just whatever doesn't fit into any other category, it's kind of like the safety net, becomes by default a Makom Ptur. Either way, Midoraisa, we either have two Rishuyos or three Rishuyos. We have Rishus HaYochid, which has its own specifications, Rishus HaRabim has its own specifications, and then perhaps Makom Ptur, which is neither this or that, which might or might not be a Rishus. Then there is a fourth Rishus, which is Midrabanan, which is a Carmelis. Carmelis is a creation Midrabanan, where they took all the Makom Ptur's that neither fits into Rishus HaYochid nor Rishus HaRabim, would be a Midoraisa Makom Ptur, but it has a sheer Makom. It is Dalin Tfachim by Dalin Tfachim. It doesn't have walls, so it's not going to be Rishus HaYochid, but it is Dalin Tfachim by Dalin Tfachim. So they took that and they categorized it midrabanan as a carmelis, and we'll see the status of a carmelis is somewhere again, you know, similar more to a rishus harabim, but it's slightly different. Okay, so carmelis is the fourth rishus, which was in its ancestry at least a makom ptur, and midrabanan they made it into a carmelis. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes over here. If we're going, you know, our seder, the Shulchan Aruch that was assigned. So in Shimon Mem Hey Sif Yud and Sif Yud Aleph, you'll see that a yam and a bika, a valley or sea or, you know, water. Since there are no walls, but it is Da'alat Fachim, my Da'alat Fachim would have the status of a Carmelis. Are there any Makom Ptur's that are left? Did they take, you know, everything out? So there are Makom Ptur's that are left. That's if it is not Da'alat Fachim, my Da'alat Fachim. You have to work pretty hard to find one. But let's say a fire hydrant. Fire hydrant is a Makom Ptur. It's less than Da'alat Fachim, my Da'alat Fachim, but it is not part of the Rishus HaRabim. Or a parking meter. You know, those type of things. Not Da'alat Fachim by Da'alat Fachim. Would also have the status of a carmelis. There is another type of carmelis, which is a Rishus HaYochid that has midoraisa, then the right number of walls, but not midrabanan. We'll get to that. It's a different type of carmelis. We'll get to that, a little bit later. Okay, so some of just the basic specifications to be, we're going to go through the, you know, specifications of each Rishus as they appear here. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch organizes it, and Shin Mem Hei. And we'll go try and follow that ordering. It'll be helpful as you're learning Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch starts off that the Rishus HaYochid has to be Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim, you know, in its area. And it has to have walls, which are Yud Tfachim tall. Mishram, next time we'll spend a lot of time just talking about Mechitzas. That's the whole Shia next time, about Mechitzas and Surah HaPesach. But suffice it to say for now that it has to have walls that are yud tfachim tall. How many walls does it have to have? So the Bir Halacha, not here, and it's in Mishin Samach Gimel, quotes a machlokes about that. Does it have to have four walls, or is it enough if it only has three, and it's a contradiction in the Rambam? Rav Shechter talked about this a number of times. And the Bir Halacha quotes in the name of the Rashba, who resolves that it depends what it opens up to. If it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, then you need a fourth wall midarais. If it opens up into a Carmelis, then it's enough with three. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Hei Siv Bei says that there are many different types of mechitzos you can have. There's a charitz, which is a ditch, or you have a tail, which is kind of like a hill or a cliff, and then a mechitza, which is a classical partition. And you can switch and mix and match between all of these. Almost every Erev does that. All Erev, you know, will have sometimes, you know, a cliff, and then sometimes they'll have fencing, and sometimes even within the same, let's say you have a little brick wall on one side, it's, you know, not 10 tefachim tall, but on the other side it is. So you know, can switch between being a charitz to being a mechitza to being a tail, and you know, switch back and forth between all of them. And Rav Shechter, I think, quoted a Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi that we can mix and match here within the mechitza, so you don't have to all have to be of one. Necessarily of one gender. There are differences between Rishus HaYachid and the other Rishuyos. It has different qualities. I'm not talking about the specifications to be Rishus HaYachid. As long as it's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim and has Mechitzas, the Yud Tvachim Tol, the right number of Mechitzas, it's a Rishus HaYachid. But the Rishus of Rishus HaYachid has qualities that you don't find by the other Rishuyos. And if you're careful, as you read through Shimon Mem Hei, you notice about four differences between Rishus HaYachid as opposed to the other Rishuyos. The first is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch all the way at the end of Shimon Mem Hei, in Sif Yud Tes, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you cannot have another Rishus inside of a Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid, the walls are Oilois Ad L'Rakia. That's a concept called Good Asik Mechitzta. Halacha l'moishim. He's seen either to review all the walls as if they go up to Shamayim. Because of that, the Rishus HaYachid is like it's full. It's like it's all Rishus HaYachid up to the sky. So you can't have another Rishus within the Rishus HaYachid. So for example, you cannot have a Carmelis in a Rishus HaYachid. So if you have a fire hydrant in a Rishus HaYachid, that would not be a Makom Ptur. That would be part of the Rishus HaYachid. You cannot have another Rishus within the Rishus HaYachid. That's quality number one, which is different than the other Rishuyos, as we'll see. Rishus HaRabim, that's not the case. You have a fire hydrant in the Rishus HaRabim. As long as it's removed from the Rishus HaRabim, then it's no longer part of the Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 tefachim tall. Above that is not part of the Rishus HaRabim. So as long as it's even 3 tefachim off the ground, you'll see the rules as you learn the Shulchan Aruch. As long as it's 3 tefachim off the ground where the people don't walk on it, so it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim, and it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then it would have the status of a makom ptur. Or if it's in a Rishus HaRabim but people don't walk there, it could have the status of a carmelis, depending on how it's used. But in a Rishus HaYachid, you cannot have such a thing. The second difference between Rishus HaYachid as opposed to the, you know, I guess, Carmelis in Rishus HaRabim is what's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei, that the Avir Rishus HaYachid is like a Rishus HaYachid. This is based on the same principle, it's just another manifestation of it. The airspace of Rishus HaYachid is a Rishus HaYachid. So if let's say you're standing in one Rishus HaRabim, another Rishus HaRabim over there, even if it would be you throw or, you know, extend something through a Rishus HaYachid, that's considered to be as if it went through the Rishus HaYachid. The Avir Rishus HaYachid is Kirishus HaYachid, as opposed to the Avir Rishus HaRabim is not Kirishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 tefachim high. Above that is a makom ptur. So I think Rabbi Shechter gave the example of throwing from this building to that building. If you stand on the roof of this building, which would be a Rishus HaYachid because it's a tail, it's like a pedestal, you have walls all around you, and you view those walls as if they go up to Shemayim, and you throw over the street, assuming, you know, until it was guaranteed you wouldn't miss or something, you know. So then it would have it would pass from Rishus HaYachid through a makom ptur, because this is way above, even if this, whatever this thing is now, even, I don't know what it is, but whatever is down here, construction site, even if that would be Rishus HaRabim, that's only below. It wouldn't extend above 10 tefachim off the ground. Or even if, let's say, I had like those sticky balls or those men, you know, that fall, like, you know, the sting. So I would hit the side of the first hole. That also would be same deal because it's above 10 tefachim off the ground. from the Rishus HaRabim wouldn't be considered as if it landed in the Rishus HaRabim. So that's the second difference between Rishus HaYachid and many of the other Rishuyos. The other Rishuyos is that they only extend up to 10 Tefachim Torah, whereas the Rishus HaYachid, the Avi Rishus HaYachid is Rishus HaYachid. The third difference is mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch Sivav, is that Kalim can also be considered a Rishus HaYachid. If, let's say, you have a big coffee table that's solid, and it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim wide, and it's 10 Tefachim tall, and the walls around it are 10 Tefachim tall, 10 Tefachim solid, so then it would have the status of a Rishus HaYachid. Whereas Kalim cannot become a Rishus HaRabim. Why? I mean, it's part of the, also indicative of what a Rishus HaRabim is about, which is that people walk there, and when people don't walk generally on Kalim, so Rishus HaRabim cannot be Kalim, but Rishus HaYachid can be. And the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos writes, a table won't be a Rishus HaYachid because it's not solid around. You need walls. And a table, unless you're going to count the legs, but the table is a Tzuras HaPesach, but for the most part, the table wouldn't have the status of a Rishus HaYachid. Yeah.
Can Kalim be a Karmelis?
Oh. So the Mishneh Brura over here, Sivkan Tet Zayin, quotes from the Rishonim, that a Karmelis cannot exist by Kalim. In that sense, it's similar to Rishus HaRabim. So this is unique to Rishus HaYachid. Ein Karmelis b'Kalim. So Rashi and Tosfos explain, this is a Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that Ein Karmelis b'Kalim is because they were never Goyzer, the din of Karmelis, even though it's Dalot Tfachim by Dalot Tfachim, they were never Goyzer Karmelis, again it's a creation of the Rabbanon, on Kalim. It was too insignificant. What happens to it now though? Let's say you have, I don't know, a kli outside in the Rishus HaRabim. It's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide and raised 3 outside of the Rishus HaRabim. It's not, you know, low down. It's not people who walk on it in the Rishus HaRabim. It's raised above 3 tefachim off the ground. It's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. It should have been a karmelis, but ain't karmelis b'kalim. So what does it become now? So if you look in the Shaar HaTzion over there, Sifkan Tetzvav, he quotes two opinions about this. Some say it's a makom ptur. Well, if it's not a karmelis, it reverts to being what it always was midoraisa, which is a makom ptur. However, then the Shaar HaTzion quotes another opinion. No, just like there's no karmelis b'kalim, there's no makom ptur b'kalim either. So these two positions again seem to reflect those two understandings of makom ptur. Is makom ptur rishus that has to have, you know, it has its own set of specifications and qualifications and standards, in which case you could say, well, Kalim can't be a Makom Tur either. Or no, maybe Makom Tur is just the safety net. Whatever isn't anything else is a Makom Tur by default, so in which case Kalim too would be a Makom Tur. If it's not a Makom Tur, it would revert to being whatever the Rishus that it finds itself in. You know, if it's a Rishus HaRabim, it would be part of the Rishus HaRabim, even though it's raised 3 out of the Rishus HaRabim. So here you have interesting two opinions as well that seem to reflect these two perspectives on what is a makom ptur. Nafkamina will be if you have, let's say, a refrigerator box. So you have a big box outside, you know, the garbage, and you put it outside for recycling. So what is the status of the box? So if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, if it doesn't blow away, if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim and 10 tefachim tall, then it would be a rishus hayochid. Less than that, we're not sure. It either be can't be a karmelis, it might be a makom ptur, might not, might be whatever, you know, if it's in the Rishus HaRabim, it might be the Rishus HaRabim. The fourth difference between Rishus HaYachid as opposed to the other Rishuyos is chayrim. That's nooks and crannies, or, you know, appendages or attachments. That's found over here in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalin. Shulchan Aruch tells us that Chayrei Rishus HaYachid are also considered to be part of the Rishus HaYachid. That would be like a window ledge or a porch. Some appendage to the Rishus HaYachid is also called the Rishus HaYachid. The Ramah says that's not true with regards to Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, however it's used, that determines its status. It's Nidon Kefi Midoseyem. If people walk on it and there's a heavy traffic there, or it has the, you know, the other regulations of Rishus HaRabim, then it's Rishus HaRabim. Otherwise, it's a karmelis, depending on how it's what its size is and where it finds itself. But a Rishus HaYachid, anything that's appended to the Rishus HaYachid is considered to be a part of the Rishus HaYachid. The Mishneh Brura and Sivka in Tes, Sivka in Yud, perhaps limits this halacha slightly, or greatly. He quotes two opinions. Perhaps it has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. It doesn't necessarily have to have walls of its own, but in order to be qualified as categorized or considered a chayr Rishus HaYachid, it has to have 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, or perhaps it has to be at least 10 tefachim off the ground. It doesn't have to have walls of 10 tefachim, but perhaps it has to be 4 tefachim off the ground. So that's why, if let's say you have a classical example of this is a deck. You have in the back of your house a deck in a place where there's no Eruv, you're in the country or something, and there's no Eruv there, and the deck is on stilts. Typically decks are built on stilts. Sometimes they have walls around to prevent animals from moving under there, but many times not. So what's the status of the deck? The house is a Rishus HaYochid. What's the status of the deck? So if the deck is attached to the house, which they usually are, yeah, that's what's called a deck, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and it's raised 10 tefachim off the ground, l'kuli alma, that would be considered chayrei rishus hayachin. You could carry there, even if the deck has no independent walls, no independent fencing around it, you could carry there. If it's not raised 10 tefachim off the ground, so then it's a little bit more, that would be two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. Could we consider that to be chayrei rishus hayachin? I think Rav Shechter 1 year mentioned that that's what he has in his house in Tannersville. And that's why he doesn't consider it to be chayrei rishus hayachid, because it's not 10 tefachim off the ground. He raised the dilemma. If it's 10 tefachim off the ground, you need walls because of mica. It's like a roof that people could fall off of. So you get stuck either way. So, you know, you'd have to have a deck where you didn't have walls in order to have this whole discussion. And then you might have to have, if it's 10 tefachim off the ground, it might have to have walls because of its own right, because of you have to protect it. Halacha of mica. This, though, we should be machmir, though, in the other direction, not to carry from a Rishus HaRabim into Chayrei Rishus HaYochid, even if it's less than Tefachim by Dao Tefachim, and even if it's less than 10 Tefachim off the ground, that might be considered to be Chayrei Rishus HaYochid. So because of that, some have raised the question, either or. You look in Sifkan Tes, Sifkan Yud, you'll see he has two opinions about Dao Tefachim by Dao Tefachim, and two opinions about 10 Tefachim off the ground. Who should be machmir, you know, even if not. So some raised the issue, let's say you lived in a place where there was no Eruv, it was more common, you used to see it here all the time, now you don't see it here as much, where the people, well, how do they carry their key? If there's no Eruv, they put the key in the belt. That's, the, let's say, the most kosher solution. The tie clip is probably, you know, unless you always wear the tie clip, you know, as a little key, you know, if that's what you wear to weddings, great, you know, but otherwise it's... it's far-fetched, or, you know. Anyway, tying it around your neck on a string doesn't work either. It's just like carrying it in your pocket. It's just here, you're carrying it around your neck. It'd have to serve some purpose in your garment. So what people do is they make it the spoke in their belt. Now, that holds the belt in place. Fine, you get a belt made like that. Fine, so you have such a belt. Now, what do you do when you get to your door? You know, open the door, right? So I guess you have to get half undressed, take off your belt, and start sticking your key from your belt into the door. Ah! You just put your key into the door, into the keyhole in the door. What's the keyhole in the door? Chayr Shusayachin, appendage to the Shusayachin. How can you stick your key into the door? What is your belt, you know, what does it tell? So Shmir Shabbos Kochasa raises this Shiloh, and he says, he distinguishes between the old proverbial keyholes and our keyholes. He says, the old keyholes where you peer through, you know, peek through the keyhole, you can really see through it, that's Chayr Shusayachin, because it opens up to the Shusayachin. He says, our keyholes don't open up into the Rishus HaYochid. There's a mechanism, the lock in between. So since it doesn't open through and through, it's not considered to be Chayrei Rishus HaYochid. Yeah.
Provided that there's no hanacha, does that circumvent this?
There certainly is a hanacha. You put it in the keyhole.
Even though you're still holding it?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Just simply by standing still is a hanacha. So he distinguishes two different types of locks. So fine, okay, so we'll accept the argument that the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, you could put it into the lock. But what happens now? Many times in the front door, at least in Washington Heights, you have the turn and push. Many times you have to turn and push. So what happens? You turn, push. Ah! You just went inside the door. You pushed your key inside. So you just carried your key, not Chayrim. You just carried your key from Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. So the Chuvas Betzel HaChachma, who is the Betzalel Stern from Vienna, quotes a line in the Mishnah Berurah in Simeshin Nun Beis of Ka'in Yun, where he argues that at least if you're coming from a Karmelist, this would be a problem in Rishus HaRabim, but if all you're coming from is a Karmelist, you only chayv if you actually insert the entire key. But if you only insert half the key, half an item, you're not chayv in a Karmelist. So he claims, this would only work in a Karmelist, if you're in Times Square, this won't help you, but if you at least push in a little bit, hold the door, turn back the key, put it back, you'd have to put it back in your belt, put back on your belt while the door is still half open, and then you can go in. Otherwise, you just carried the key from the Rosh Hashanah. With the belt, you haven't solved anything. If you're just going to carry the key once you get there. So you have to put the key back in the belt and then walk into the door. Complicated matzah. The easiest would be if the front door is open, and then you walk into the vestibule and then open the door. So if you have a vestibule, gegezunt, but otherwise...
What's the vestibule
Ganes? The vestibule is Rosh Hashanah, surrounded by walls. So if I walk in the vestibule, this is only if the key is on the first door. You know, many times they have two keys. So if it's on the first door, you have a problem. If it's on the second door, it's all right. This is relevant also to the front porch. We gave the example of a deck has the status of Chayei Rishus Hayachu. What about a front porch? So in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel, he quotes the status of the Iskupa, where he, the Shulchan Aruch claims that it has to have the midos of Rishus Hayachu in order to consider it part of the Rishus Hayachu. For that reason, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Taz usually it's not going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Because many times on these front porches, like a stoop, you don't have four walls around you. So he talks about using the ceiling as a kind of pitikra, which we'll get to maybe next time. And Shulchan Aruch says you can't do that, because in order to say pitikra, it has to be dal tvachim by dal tvachim in the roof many times. It's not, so it kind of makes a gzera from the Mordechai that we should never consider it pitikra on an iskupa on a front porch, because many times it's not going to be a dal tvachim, a dal tvachim. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav asks, over there in Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel, why isn't the front porch the iskupa chayrei Rishus Hayochid? It should be a Rishus Hayochid by virtue of the fact that it's connected to the larger Rishus Hayochid. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav explains that it's because the front porch is used by both the Bnei HaKarmelis as well as the Bnei HaBayis. So how can we really call it, you know, conclusively, Chayrei Rishus Hayochid? It might be used by the Bnei HaKarmelis equally to the Bnei HaBayis. The mailman uses it, other people use it, you know. So since it's not only used by the Bnei Rishus Hayochid, we can't necessarily call it Chayrei Rishus Hayochid. It might be called Chayrei Karmelis, or, you know, be used by the Bnei HaKarmelis, in which case it would not have the status of a Rishus Hayochid. So a front porch, not, because it's used by many different populations, but at least the back deck is a good example, or a window ledge, or things like that, if it's wide enough, might have the status of Chayrei Rishus Hayochid. But this is only true by Rishus Hayochid. Karmelis, as we said, Rishus HaRabim, don't have this halacha of Chayrim. This is the fourth difference between the Rishus HaYochid as opposed to the other Rishuyos. That's Rishus HaYochid. Karmelis, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Sif Yud Dalet, this is Shem Mem Hei Sif Yud Dalet, that a Karmelis is whatever, again, is not a Rishus HaYochid, as we'll see, not a Rishus HaRabim, but it has four Tvachim by four Tvachim. It has a sheer makom, that is the status of a karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry there dalet amos from place to place, just like a Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to switch Rishuyos from a Rishus HaYochid into a karmelis or a karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid. For those halachas, it has the status of like a Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah Berurah in Mem Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says that a yam has the status of a karmelis. So yes, well, one minute, what about the walls around the yam? So the Mishnah Berurah says we must be talking about where the walls are not steep enough to be considered walls. And in order to be considered a tail, it has to go up at the proper angle. You know, it has to be oile yud fachim mitoch dalet amos, has to go at a pretty steep angle. And either it doesn't go at that angle, or, you know, many lakes, you don't have that. Or he says it's too big, it's too wide. In order for, like Rabbi Shechter discussed with the continental shelf, it's too, you don't feel enclosed. Either way, that's why the yam is considered to be a karmelis as opposed to Rishus HaYochid. There's another type of karmelis, though, and that's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel. The first is where it doesn't meet the specifications of Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid. It's not dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim with walls, and it doesn't meet the qualifications and specifications of Rishus HaRabim. But then there's another type of karmelis, and that is if it's a Rishus HaYochid with what Shechter called a Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tiltul. It might have the proper number of walls, at least midaraisa, but midarabanan, they prohibited you from carrying there. Either because you need a tikkun on the Ruach Revius, let's say three walls is good enough, but four midarabanan, and you don't have the fourth wall. Or the example of the Karpif, a place that is hukuf mechitzas, but not hukuf ledira. It's for some other purpose there's mechitzas there. So that's the karpef, which as long as it's bigger than beis hasayim, even if they're, you know, by 50 amos, by 100 amos, which is like 125 feet by 125 feet. It's like a third of a football field. It's really not big at all. So if you have such an area that's enclosed with mechitzos, but it's not hukaf ledira, it's not for living purposes, so then even though it's hukaf mechitzos, it'd have the status of a karmelis. The Mishnah Berurah discusses carrying from one karmelis into the other karmelis. One gender of karmelis, which is neither Rishus HaYachim nor Rishus HaRabim, into a karmelis, which is a Rishus HaYachim midoraisa, but an Isser Tiltol. So he claims, midrabanan, we treat them all as the same. Even though they're coming from very different ancestries and very different places, we treat them all as the same. But since a karmelis, midoraisa, at least for the most part, not the karpif or the Rishus HaRabim with Rishus HaYachim with three walls, but the traditional karmelis, it's Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim, and just neither meets the specifications of Rishus HaYachim or Rishus HaRabim. They declared midrabanan as a karmelis, since the ancestry of the karmelis is really a makom ptur. So for that reason, the Ramah has two opinions in Sif Yud Tes. Can you have a makom ptur in a karmelis? Meaning, let's say in your typical suburban neighborhood, none of the streets or the area is going to be classified as Rishus HaRabim. If there's no Eruv, it would be called a karmelis. What is the status of the fire hydrant or the parking meter, which are not Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim wide, so would retain the status of a makom ptur? Can they exist in a karmelis? Well, why not? It should be like a Rishus HaRabim. Just like you could have a parking meter and a fire hydrant, which is a rabbim, is a makom ptur, why can't these be a makom ptur too as well? So the Ramah quotes one opinion that is a makom ptur, but then he quotes another opinion, and he's machmer like this, that we say, matzah min es minoy v'neir. Kind of like a Yoredeya term. He says, since the makom ptur is really, the karmelis is really a makom ptur, but they were geyser to treat it as a karmelis, once they were geyser, they'd go a geyser in a wide brush. And they included all the makom pturos, or makom pturim, whatever it is, here in this gzeira of karmelis, and therefore the fire hydrant or the parking meter would not have the status of a makom ptur, would have the status of the larger karmelis. This is relevant for the best eitza if a person forgets and carries something outside. The best eitza is, if let's say a person's in a place where there's no eruv, you're going on a Shabbaton, some, Kiruv Shabbaton somewhere, with no Erev there. And you by accident walk out, you're not used to it, you walk out with a tissue in your pocket or the key in your pocket. What do you do now? Well, it's too late to ask the Shaira, so you have to think about it before. So what do you do if this might happen to you? So the best, one of the H's is keep walking until you get back to where you came from. Not so easy always to do that. Another H is, or perhaps even better than that, is to put it down on a makom ptur. Put it down in a parking meter or a fire hydrant. The problem is, if you're in Times Square, which is a Rishus HaRabim, let's say L'chol HaDeis, then that's fine. There's a makom ptur in Rishus HaRabim. But what if you're in some suburban place in the Midwest somewhere? Probably not going to be a Rishus HaRabim. The suburban community will probably be a karmelis. Do you solve anything by putting it on the fire hydrant? Perhaps you would say, matza min es mino v'neir. The fire hydrant itself might be considered to be part of the karmelis itself, and therefore it won't help you. So probably not a good eitzah. The Mishnah of the Shulchan Aruch is machmer that there's no makom ptur in a karmelis. Yeah. It is because the feet are in the karmelis. Yeah. Why don't you say every time I'm walking through, it's just a rabbim and I hold it above my head that's in the makom ptur? Serious? Because we go based on where your feet are. The Gemara says.
So
here too.
Garbage cans
oftentimes are wider than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. At least my garbage cans, the garbage cans now are like these,
I'm thinking of the, yeah.
Yeah, the traditional small silver, garbage can. If it's less than dalet tefachim, you're right. It would have the status of a makom ptur, yeah. So what is the status of the karmelis? So we said it, for the most part, is treated as a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to pick up and walk four almas within the karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachim to a karmelis. But the Gemara says that if we give it, and it's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivka Nayin Gimel, and Simen Shin Mem Hei, we give it the kulos of Rishus HaYachim and the kulos of Rishus HaRabim, which means it doesn't have chayrim, the halach of appendages that apply by Rishus HaYachim, that it doesn't have. And it also has the kula of Rishus HaRabim that it doesn't go above 10 tefachim. The airspace, even though the airspace of Rishus HaYachid is like Rishus HaYachid, the airspace of a karmelis is not like a karmelis, only up till 10 tefachim, just like a Rishus HaRabim. And this is found as well in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud Ches, these rules. So for that reason, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Ein karmelis lamala me'asara. Sounds like a very innocuous statement. What does it mean? It means that the airspace, that's how we would have interpreted it, the airspace of a karmelis above 10 tefachim is not part of the karmelis. It's like a Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim that is not part of the Rishus HaRabim. However, there's in fact a big machlekes rishonim, machlekes achreinim, about what the extent of that statement, Ein karmelis lamala me'asara. And this comes to a head in the Shulchan Aruch over here, Sif Tez Zayin. In the case of the Gog HaBoilet, the case of the Gog HaBoilet is like this. I think Rav Shechter discussed it. Which is where you have the, just when you're reading in Shulchan Aruch, it's hard to figure out exactly what's going on. You have, let's say, a house, apartment building, and it has a roof that sticks out like this. This is the Gog, this is the Bias. Okay, so what should this, if there be no Gog, what is the status of the top of the house? That's a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because it has walls all around that continue to go up and they're 10 tefachim tall. But now you have a Gog over here. So the Gog, the Gemara says, you cannot say good asik mechitzta. We cannot view the walls if they continue to go up if there is, if it's eina nikaros, if the mechitzta is not nikar. And if you're standing over here, the mechitzta is not nikar below. So what now is the status of the Gog? Because this protrusion of the Gog makes it, the Gog HaBoilet makes it Eino Nikar. So what's the status of on top of the roof? So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's considered to be a karmelis. It's considered to be a karmelis. Why is it a karmelis? Push it. Because this is Dal Tefachim wide. It has a sheer makom, but it has no walls. Because this wall is blocked off, is boxed out, because it's Eino Nikaros over here. So we consider this to be a karmelis. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Tez Zayin. However, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Mem Hei quotes in the name of the Gra, who claims that that was Tosis quotes in the name, he claims it's Tosis in the name of the Yerushalmi, that it has the status of a makom ptur. Up here is a makom ptur. Why is it a makom ptur? It's dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim wide, and we explain any place. There's neither Rishus HaYachid nor Rishus HaRabim. There's not a Rishus HaRabim. No, there's no traffic over here. There's not a Rishus HaYachid either, because we can't say good Asik Mechitza. So it should have been a Kamos, the Dal Tefachim by Dal Tefachim wide. Why does the Yushalmi, and the Gra quotes it, the Maisa, why do they think it's a Makom Tur? Because they say, Ein Karmelis Lamala Me'asara. You cannot have a Karmelis 10 Tefachim off the ground. They understood that statement of the Gemara to be much more expansive than we initially understood it. Not only that the airspace above 10 tefachim is not part of the karmelis, but you simply cannot have a karmelis that is 10 tefachim above the ground. And the Tosfos quotes like that from the Yerushalmi. That's the second opinion. The Bir Halacha here quotes a third opinion about the status of the Gog HaBoilet. What is the status of the Gog HaBoilet? He quotes from Tosfos in Erevin, not in the name of the Yerushalmi. This is Tosfos' pshat. That Tosfos says the only time, Tosfos holds it's a karmelis, but Tosfos says the only time up here is a karmelis, like what the Shulchan Aruch said, is if this is Dalet Tefachim. Again, we have two opinions so far. Shulchan Aruch held up here as a karmelis. The Gra in the name of the Yerushalmi held it's a makom ptur and karmelis lamala me'asara. Tosfos then adds his own pshat that it's only if it's Dalet Tefachim long is this area a karmelis. What's the pshat in that opinion of Tosfos? Why does this have to be dalet tefachim wide? So Rav Shechter explained in the name of the Chazon Ish that it's because if it's less than dalet tefachim protruding, this is not called eina nikaros. If I could like peer over and see it, you know, it's still nikar. What makes this eina nikaros that we can no longer say good asik mechitzda is when it's dalet tefachim wide? Then it's no longer nikar. So it's just a different variation, you know, of the original pshat of the Shulchan Aruch, that up here is a karmelis. Tosfos says, yeah, but it has to stick out four tefachim because then it's eino nikar. Then the mechitza doesn't relate to this ground level because it sticks out the dalet tefachim. That's Tosfos' pshat. That's the Chazon Ish's pshat on Tosfos. However, the Maharsha on that Tosfos doesn't learn like that. And Rav Moshe disagrees as well. The Maharsha on that Tosfos learns, no, it's only when it's dalet tefachim wide. For the following reason. The Maharsha says, and Rav Moshe explains it further, that even if you don't say good asik mechitzta, again, if it's eino nikar, we cannot say good asik mechitzta. But Rav Moshe holds this area is a Rishus HaYachid, even if you do not say good asik mechitzta. Rav Shechter and the Chazon Ish cannot entertain that possibility, but that's Rav Moshe's opinion. And that's the opinion, because they have the whole shiur just on that one topic. But there are many Rishonim who seem to say that as well. That it could be Rishus HaYachad simply because there are mechitzas underneath it. Even though we don't say good asim mechitzah, this area will be a Rishus HaYachad. But the problem is, that's this area. What about this area? We'll call this area A. What about area B over the God? No one's going to say that's a Rishus HaYachad. Why not? There's no walls underneath. So this area is clearly going to be a Karmelis. So says the Marsha like this, if it's Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim wide, then this area is a Karmelis. Now the Rishus HaYachad is Nifrat Mamakam Asalo. It opens up into a Karmelis. Now I can no longer carry here either. Because it's Nifrat Mamakam Asalo. You follow? But if this is less than Dalet Tfachim, if this is Gimel Tfachim, why not Dalet? So it's not a Karmelis. Rabbi say, why is it not a Karmelis? Because in order to be a Karmelis, what does it first have to be? It has to be Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim. Any area that's not Rishus HaYachad, nor Rishus HaRabim, but it is Dalet Tfachim, Dalet Tfachim is a Karmelis. If it's less than Dalet Tfachim, Dalet Tfachim, it's a Makom Ptur. So said the Rasha, this area, L'kol HaDeis, according to this opinion in Tosfos, is Rishus HaYachad. That was never under dispute. If this is Dalet Tfachim, why? Now it's a Karmelis, you can't carry here either because it's Nifrat Makom Asavo. If it's Gimel Tfachim, then this area is a Makom Ptur, and now this remains Rishus HaYachad, and you can carry there. This is why Reish Lakish has such a different opinion than Rav Moshe with regards to the George Washington Bridge issue. Rav Moshe was discussing, if let's say Manhattan would have walls all the way around it, right? And then you have the George Washington Bridge that goes out from the middle, into New Jersey. So let's say you have mechitzas all the way around, so it's still a problem to carry Manhattan because the bridge is Nifrat L'makam Ha'asalom. So that was the Beshefta's presentation. And he said, and you can't solve it with the mechitzas that are below. Why can't the mechitzas that are below help? Why not? Because there ain't no nikar on top of the bridge. That's like these mechitzas helping for on top of the roof. It's ain't no nikar. When you look at the bridge, there's no mechitzas. I'm standing in the middle of the bridge, no mechitzas, and they're not nikar on the bridge. So even though there are mechitzas below, they don't help for the ground level that's above. However, Rav Moshe argued that, one minute, the mechitzas that are below can help. Because number one, the Gra quotes in the name of the Yushalmi that Ein Karmelis Lamala Me'asar, and the George Washington Bridge is 10 Tfachim off the ground. So the George Washington Bridge cannot be a Karmelis. And there's no Karmelis Lamala Me'asar, says Rav Moshe. There's certainly no Rishus HaRabim Lamala Me'asar. So there cannot be Rishus HaRabim or Karmelis Lamala Me'asar. Rav Moshe argues the George Washington Bridge is a Makom Ptur. It's a Makom Ptur. And then Rav Moshe says, even if the Mechitzas are not Nikar above, according to Tosfos, it has the status of a Rishus HaYachad because of the mechitzas that are below. It's just a problem of Nifras L'makom Ha'asalo. So say Rav Moshe, that's not a problem. We'll put it to short Tzuris HaPesach somewhere and we'll solve the problem of Nifras L'makom Ha'asalo. But either way, it would not have the status of, it would not prohibit the mechitzas that are below. Would render it to be a Rishus HaYachad Midday Raisa. So Rav Moshe argues you have two out of three positions over here would help you with regards to the George Washington Bridge, and therefore Moshe was not as concerned with the George Washington Bridge. Rabbi Shechlad, again, had his whole different understanding of Tosfos, that mechitzas that are below can never help for the mechitzas to enclose the area that's above, because it's not enough that you have mechitzas below, it has to be nikar on top, and therefore he couldn't entertain that possibility with regards to the George Washington Bridge. In order to be a Rishus HaRab, as we've discussed Rishus HaYachad a little bit, Karmis a little bit, we'll move on, as the Shulchan Aruch does, to Rishus HaRabim. So over here, the Shulchan Aruch gives you the qualifications of what you need, specifications of what is a Rishus HaRabim. Where is this in? Sif Zion. So the Gemara actually, when the Gemara asks, what is a Rishus HaRabim, the Gemara in Shabbos and the above, the Gemara just gives two examples. The Gemara says, Sratya and Platya, a highway and a plaza. The Rishonim are the one who give all of the specifications that appear in the Shulchan Aruch. So Rishonim mentioned a number of different specifications that existed by the camp that Klal Yisrael traveled within the Midbar, as we said, is the paradigm for the Yisur Vaitzah. So there were certain specifications of the camp that in which they traveled, and that will serve to help us to know what is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim for us as well. So the first specification the Shulchan Aruch mentions is that it has to be Rochav Tez Zayin Amos, 16 Amos wide. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch says sidewalk counts too. It doesn't matter how you're traveling. As long as people travel on that part, even though they travel through a different means, car, you know, rail, or by walking, they all be considered to be a part of the Rishus HaRabin. The Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if it's, you'll notice it's a stira. The Mishnah Berurah tells you it's a stira. It's one sif to the next, seems to contradict itself. But sif ches to sif tes talks about a Rishus HaRabim that's miskatzer. From tes, like an hourglass. It gets thinner and then it gets wider. So that continues to have the status of a Rishus HaRabim, but if it becomes very, very narrow, then it would lose its status of Rishus HaRabim. You can look there, the Mishnah Berurah resolves the contradiction. He first points out, by the way, it's not two sifim that are disjointed. They are, in fact, one discussion, and there's a contradiction, and he resolved it. But the Rishus HaRabim, that's miskatzer, even though at some points is less than Tazayinam, it would still maintain its status as a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so the first qualification is that it has to be Tazayinam wide. The second is, the Gemara says in Meshech the Shabbos, it can't have a roof. Rishus HaRabim didn't have a roof. That was how, I don't know whatever happened to it, but there's a rabbi in yeshiva named Tzvi Ram, you might know him. He's a rav of the Bialystok Yeshiva on the Lower East Side, which is like the lion's den of, you know, Erevin in Manhattan, because Rav David lives across the street there, you know, in one of the buildings right there. So there are actually two buildings. It was explained to me there are two buildings in Lower East Side where everybody lives. And then, you know, obviously the biggest concentration of the population. So what he wanted to do is put lovage strings going across. They got permission to do this. Lovage strings going across the two buildings. So it would be Makura going across the two buildings. Maybe that would satisfy those who were opposed to the Eruv for other reasons. I don't think it did. I don't think it would happen.
Good, upper lower side. And then one of the Askanim on the lower side.
Or David was masking to it?
David was masking to it. It's not really two buildings, it's like two blocks where the complexes are.
Is that the way, was his suggestion?
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to make a Makura on that one street. It was a little bit political, because only street, the only ones that got there are four other shuls on Lower East Side. But one of the Askanim convinced them not to, because like once you have any type of Arab on Lower East Side, everything's kind of...
Floodgates will open up.
They just had
extended to Lower East Side?
But some resident in Muncie extended it
to the east side.
Extended it to the east side, and one of the shuls said, "All right, once you carry everything,
you go out." Okay, that's the second qualification for Rishus HaRabim. The third is, it has to be mechuven mishar l'shar. Shulchan Aruch quotes that over here. It's open from gate to gate. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it's only in a city that has a wall. It has no wall. That seems to be kind of obvious. Otherwise, it would be Rishus HaYochid. Even if it has a wall, then it's a Rishus HaRabim. If the street goes through and through. Sounds like the only time that it helps you if it doesn't go through and through, it's not mechuvan mishal l'shar, mefulosh mishal l'shar, as if it has a wall. And that is the opinion of the Mishkanes Yaakov, Reb Chaim Oizer, the Chazon Ish, in his tshuva about the Erev in Paris, is that the only time you need mefulosh mishal l'shar, or not mefulosh mishal l'shar, renders it not a Rishus HaRabim, as if there is a wall. Because then what happens if you curve is it looks like this. Then you have, let's say, a big, this is the wall around the city, and you have a street that goes through, and it goes, like that. So, yes, that's not Mefuish Mishal HaShar, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim now. Why? Because you have walls, you know, for the most part, all around. Nothing is here, this, you have three walls, you know, wall, and here you have three walls, wall, you know, one, two, three, so you kind of have the Chazon Ish, which we'll get to at the end, where you have walls wherever you turn, because there's walls, because it curves, and there's walls all around. But if there is no wall around the city, why should it have to be, let's say, Mefulosh, Mishar L'Shar? At the same time, even though that's how it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shechter quoted the opinion of Shlomo David Kahana, who was the Rav in Warsaw, who seemed to not assume that it had to be in a city where there was a wall. It sounds like that from the Shulchan Aruch, but he assumed even in a city where there is no wall, in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, the streets have to go Mefulash Mishalash, which he seemed to indicate meant had to go straight through. So Rav Moshe asked in the Igros Moshe, what is the reason for that? Why? What's the Svara behind that? He can't even understand why that should be the case. Why should it have to be Mefulash Mishalash? Why does it have to go straight through the town? He doesn't understand. So if it's a city that has a wall, we understand. But why should this, even to an extent to a city that has no wall, why should it have to go straight through? So actually the Meiri asked that question on the Shabbos over there in Daf Zayin, and the Meiri explains, which is obvious to us who drive cars, that if it's Mefulash Mishalash, what do? You go fast. What if it curves? You can't go as fast. So it slows down the traffic. So he says that slows down the traffic, the fact that it curves. So it's not as much, it's not trafficked as much because you can't go as fast. There are opinions, though, of other Achrayim who assume that Mefulash Mishal Lashar, this was famous in the name of Rav Moshe Bick, that who was a contemporary of Rav Moshe, major Paisik in Bar Park, that Mefulash Mishal Lashar doesn't mean it has to go straight through. It means it has to be unobstructed as you go through. But he said, as long as you have road that leads to road, that leads to road, they don't end in dead ends or non-major highways. You have highway that leads to highway, that leads to highway, that leads to highway. That's all called Mefulash, or big road that leads to big road, that leads to big road. That's all called Mefulash Mishal Lashar. So he claimed that America is Mefulash from New York to California. It's all considered to be Mefulash because you could go straight through. It's unobstructed. Either way, because of Ramesh's questions on, he didn't understand why it should have to be Mefulash Mishal Lashar. Ramesh suggests his own definition of what Mefulash means, and that is that it has to have the specifications of Rishus HaRabim throughout. But it doesn't actually have to go all the way through the town. Rav Moshe even held that a dead end could be a Rishus HaRabim as long as it maintains the specifications of Rishus HaRabim. As long as it's Tezayin Amawad, Eino Mekura, and it's trafficked properly, it could even have the status of Rishus HaRabim all the way through. The problem with Rav Moshe's opinion is, aside from the fact that it sounds like, fit necessarily into the words of the Shulchan Aruch. But aside from that, is that every time then you have an overpass where you have a roof in the middle, that should be render that road Eino Mefulash. So every highway then will be Eino Mefulash because it has overpasses, and that would be a major chiddush. Anyway, it's good kasha Rav Moshe Shita. The fourth qualification here to be a Rishus HaRabim, we'll skip the Delosos for the moment, is that it has to have Shishim Ribo. 600,000 people, they traffic the street. So that's two opinions here. Some hold in Ishi Shemibo, some hold not. So the Mishnah Berurah tries to prove from the language of the Shulchan Aruch and the rules about how and when the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Oimrims that we don't paskin like that opinion that you need Shishim Ribo. We should really paskin that you do not need Shishim Ribo, and even less than this, 600,000 would be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch That's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to conclude. In the Sharat Tzion, though, over here, Sikon Chav Beis, he notes that the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere seems to assume that we do paskin, you need Shishim Ribo. Even though here he just quotes it as a Yesh Oimrim, later on, the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that we do need Shishim Ribo, because the Shulchan Aruch later on says that we don't have a Rishus HaRabim nowadays. Why don't we have a Rishus HaRabim nowadays? So it must be because we need Shishim Ribo, and we don't have Shishim Ribo. So it's unclear a little bit how we should paskin. The Ramah quotes this also, Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel, we don't have Rishus HaRabim nowadays. Why don't we have Rishus HaRabim nowadays? Sounds like you need Shishim Ribo. Either way, the Bir Halacha, long Bir Halacha here in the Mishnah Berurah seem to conclude that L'chadchila Bal Nefesh should be machmer on himself not to require Shishim Ribo to be considered Rishus HaRabim, and even less than that would be a Rishus HaRabim. I think that's why the Chofetz Chaim, it says in the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, he did not carry an Erevin, because he was Choshish for this opinion. The Mishnah Berurah later on tells us that the way he understood most contemporaries Erevin is that based on the following assumption, we're going to explain it slightly different, or Shefta presented it slightly differently than the Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah later on in Shin Samach Dalet presents the basis for Erevin is because we assume the halacha of asu rabim u'mavakla mechitzta, and in whatever form we paskin that asu rabim u'mavakla mechitzta, that's only midrabanan. That's the opinion of the Rambam. And since asu rabim u'mavakla mechitzta is only midrabanan, that's why the Rambam holds it's losses ru'uyos linol is enough, we'll get to it in a second, since also Rabban without the mechitzah is only me the Rabbanon, and the Mishnah Berurah said, and it's a suffix whether or not you see Shishim Ribo or not, since we never have Shishim Ribo in our settings, we don't have Shishim Ribo, most communal Erevin, there's no Shishim Ribo. So since we don't have Shishim Ribo, and either way, also Rabban without the mechitzah by the Turis HaPesach is only me the Rabbanon, we could be Mako, suffix the Rabbanon Lekula. Meaning maybe you need Shishim Ribo, and if there's no Shishim Ribo, then you can build your Erev. And even if you don't need Shishim Ribo, also Rav Mavatel Mechitzta is only Midrabanan. We could be Mako on this Machlok as we showed him in the issue Midrabanan, also Rav Mavatel Mechitzta. So, but L'chadchila, the Chafetz Chaim was Machmer on himself not to carry in any Erev, even communal Erevin, where there is no Shishim Ribo, because he was chayshish for the opinion that you don't need Shishim Ribo to be considered a Rishus HaRavim. Maybe the local, suburban community would be, the big street would be considered to be a Rishus HaRavim. Even though Asur Ravim Vat Mechitza is only Midr Rabbanan. Either way, you need some basic traffic. Let's say you have a little road, in a population 35. Are you going to call that street Rishus HaRavim? According to the opinion, you don't need Shishim Ribo. So the Beis Ephraim says, now there is some minimal traffic that you need to be considered Rishus HaRavim, even for the opinion that you don't need Shishim Ribo. Even if you don't need 600,000, it doesn't mean if you have 10, people traveling on the road each day, that that's considered to be Rishus HaRavim. There's a minimal amount of traffic. It has to be heavily trafficked. He's not sure what it is, but it's, even if it's not Shishim Ribo, it definitely has to be heavily trafficked. How do we assess Shishim Ribo? So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, he says you need Shishim Ribo Orim Bo B'chol Yom. 600,000 people that pass there every day. So the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Chav Dalet says he looked through, he scoured all of the Rishonim and never found this in any of the Rishonim. But the truth of the matter is the Acharonim point out, the Beis Yosef quotes like four Rishonim who say that explicitly. The Ramban says it, the Sefer Truma, the Bahag, Rabbeinu Yerucham, all say you need Shishim Ribo in that spot every day. But the Mishnah Berurah says he looked through all the Rishonim and couldn't find them. So because of that, he questions whether it has to be every day. Maybe even if it's a composite of a few days, you have 600,000 people, that's enough to qualify it as a Rishus HaRav. The standard, the simple language of the Shulchan Aruch is you need 600,000 people there every day. The Bir Halakha, though, quotes other opinions in Rishonim who disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch and had more expansive views. He quotes there from the Ritva and the Ran that it's enough if it's open to 600,000 people to travel there. Not that they actually do. It can handle traffic of 600,000 people. And the Aruch HaShulchan discusses in that context train tracks. Train tracks can handle such heavy traffic. So maybe that would be considered to be a Rishus HaRavim, even if there aren't 600,000 people there every day, since it could handle such heavy traffic. It's Pasuach L'Rabim. And then the Sharat Zion and Sifka and Chavhei, right over there, says that perhaps we don't assess it based on individual streets, which is how the Shulchan Aruch presents it. Maybe we don't assess it based on individual streets, but all the streets of the city together. If all the streets of the city together have 600,000 people, then the entire city becomes a Rishus HaRavim. And that was the opinion of Rav Moshe. He doesn't quote the Sharat Zion, but that was his opinion. That all the streets of the city together become a Rishus HaRavim, as long as you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given moment in time. How far do you extend that? So Rav Moshe said, well, it was as big, we should extend it as big as the Machane Yisrael in as they traveled in the Midbar, which was Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil. So Rav Moshe says, if you have within an area of Yud Beis Mil, which is amount it takes to travel 18 minutes. So if within Yud Beis Mil, by Yud Beis Mil, each mil, then that would be, and there are 600,000 people on the streets of the city, that would be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim Dairaisa. The major nafkamina of this approach is, how do you figure that out? You have 600,000 people. So Rav Moshe did a sociological, anecdotal sociological study, and he assumed that between 1 out of 5 and 1 out of 6 people are on the streets of the city at any given moment in time. So Rav Moshe said, as long as you have 3 million people between 2.4 million and 3 million people living within a within an area of Yud Beis Mil. It's that dense of a population. You could assume that at any given moment in time, there's 600,000 people on the streets of the city. In which case, not only does any individual street become Rosh Harabim, but the entire city, lock, stock, and barrel, dead ends and all, becomes a Rosh Harabim. So for that reason, Ramoshi does not bring that up in the tshuva on Manhattan. This was what he was mechadish in the tshuva to Flatbush, that you can't have an Erev in Flatbush because Ramoshi assumed it had such a dense population, 2.4 million to 3 million people living within the area of Yud Beis Mil, that you can't build an Erev anywhere, even the dead end streets, because the whole city becomes, all the streets become, and Rosh Hashanah Day, right? And this fits in with his pshat by Mefulosh. Mefulosh doesn't mean it has to go straight through, just it has maintains the specifications of Rosh Hashanah throughout. So therefore, Moshe was against, well known to be against the Erev and Flatbush. What's funny is, or not funny, but interesting, in the very next tshuva, Moshe has a tshuva, Negros Moshe, to Kew Gardens Hills, which is where we were supposed to go today, Nebuch. But in Kew Gardens Hills, Moshe was makel that they could build an Erev. So everyone asks, why? This seems to be just as densely populated as Brooklyn. What's the difference between Kew Gardens Hills, Queens, as opposed to Flatbush? Ramosha doesn't explain. So, but the Talmidim of Ramosha explain that that it's because Kew Gardens Hills, we would have seen it if we'd be there, if you know the area, is broken into like quadrants by the highways. You have right there in the intersection, I think it's called, what's it called? Jackie Robinson Exchange. Yeah, they all merge. You have the Grand Central Parkway with the LIE, with the Jackie Robinson, and they all come and like kind of box out Kew Gardens Hills, and it separates it from Forest Hills and from Flushing. It's separated by all the different highways. So since it's separated by the highways, Moshe held that each one is a distinct neighborhood, and in each one you don't have that density of the population independently. So therefore he was Mekel. But in Flatbush, where you don't have that kind of highway that divides it, Moshe was against building the Erev there. One can make the same argument nowadays with regards to Manhattan if you have such a dense population. The Mishnah Brura over here in Shin Mem Heisef Kan Yud Zayin quotes vaguely, obtusely, but he quotes the opinion that Rav Shechter mentioned the name of the Ramban, which was quoted by the Orchas Chaim Sipinka, that if you're dealing with a highway, then you don't need Shisha Mibo. Again, the Gemara said, what is Ezer Rishus HaRabim? Is a Sratia or a Platia? Sratia is a highway. So it sounds like from there, that Sratia, even if it doesn't have Shisha Mibo, maybe one can make the argument, is already, by definition, a Rishus HaRabim. That is the prime example, the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim is the highway. And in fact, this issue is a machlokes of classical poskim in Avnei Nezer and Simon Reish Ayin Gimel. He has a machlokes between himself and Rabbi Yeshua LeKuttner, who was a contemporary of his, the author of the Yeshua's Malkoi, about whether or not we should paskin like this Ramban that Rav Shechter brought up. Do you need Shisha Mibo by a highway or not? Rav Shechter, as we know, was machmir. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who's Mekel. And Shlomo Zalman argues, based on the Ramah himself, the Ramah says in Shim Shimon Vav Siv Gimel, we just mentioned it a few moments ago, that we don't have Rishus HaRabim nowadays. So what do you mean? The Ramah didn't have highways? Of course they had highways. Drachim HaHochim Me'ir Le'ir. Maybe not the way we have them, but he had roads that went from town to town. So how could that not be then a highway? So what does the Ramah mean that we don't have Rishus HaRabim nowadays? So it must be, says Shlomo Zalman, that even on a highway you need Shishim Ribo. And in fact, that's why Rav Moshe used to, as I think Rav Shechter mentioned, used to hang out of his window looking and counting cards on the FDR, because Rav Moshe held that's the only place that you need Shishim Ribo on one street. When is the Shulchan Aruch talking about that you need Shishim Ribo on one street? Rav Moshe held we assess, like the Shaar Tzion, we assess Shishim Ribo in the entire town. So when do you ever need Shishim Ribo? Oven Bo B'chol Yom, say Rav Moshe, that's on a highway. That's not part of the streets of the city. If it's not part of the streets of the city, how do I assess if it's Rosh Hashanah? Oh, then I need 600,000 people there on that one street, Oven Bo B'chol Yom. So the FDR, which didn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city, that's where Rav Moshe held, that's the only place you need Shishim Ribo. But Rabbi Shechter disagreed. Rabbi Shechter felt we should pass like this Ramban, that the only time you need Shishim Ribo is on the streets of the city. The streets that don't blend in to become part of the city. The whole purpose of it is to travel from place to place. It's Drachim HaHochim Me'ir Le'ir, is the paradigmatic Rosh Hashanah. And even if you don't have Shishim Ribo, you would have the status of Rosh Hashanah. Schechter argued, I think, once, even the Lincoln Tunnel, therefore, even though it's Makura, might have the status of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. The Shulchan Aruch is just describing highways. You know, it's Tezayin Amar wide. It's like if you would be describing to an alien, what is a highway? You would say, well, it's a wide road, there's usually no roof, there's a lot of traffic, you know. But if you actually have, you know, Kishmo Keinu, you have a Rishus HaRabim, so then you don't need all, any of these conditions.
Does it matter?
Yeah. Then it's not Drachma Hokam Yoyim. Both come out city to city, the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel. Yeah.
How do you define from city to city?
What do you mean, from place to place?
Just continuous.
There's no stores, there's no anything, there's no stops, it's not, no shops. The whole purpose is the New Jersey Turnpike. Or even the FDR. The whole purpose is just to go around and around Manhattan. It's not to go, there's no, it's not.
It stays in Manhattan.
Yeah, but it's not, it's just for the purpose of, it doesn't, the way Rabbi Schechter defined it is, it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city, even if it's going around and around the same city, but it doesn't, there's no shops, there's no shopping, there's no houses, there's no nothing there. It's just to travel from place to place that he defined as not the streets of the city, and that would have the status of a highway. So for that reason, Rabbi Schechter, the Aruch HaShulchan, brings this up, as we mentioned, feels that you cannot build an Erev in a city where there are train tracks that go through it, unless you box out the train tracks. Because the train tracks themselves would have the status of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So in many suburban communities, this is a major issue. Sometimes the train tracks are set off, you know, they're either raised or lowered. But if you have a highway or train tracks that go right through the streets of the city, this was the issue with Teaneck that we saw last year. Now they boxed out Route 4 from the Teaneck Erev, which as we saw, we spent a lot of time on last year on the Erev tour. But if you have a highway, or even if you don't have a highway, you have train tracks that go through the streets of the city, it becomes a major issue for Schechter. But again, as we mentioned, according to Rabbi Meisher, Shlomo Zalman would not be as much of an issue. Even according to Rabbi Schechter, what you can do is build machitzos along it, and then just wherever there's an entrance ramp or an exit ramp before you get onto the highway, put a Tzuras HaPesach. So the city is not nifrats into the highway. It's kind of like cordoned off. And you could solve the problem in that fashion.
Is that possible to do
in Riverdale? I don't know anything about it. No comment. The other example the Gemara brings up of a Rishus HaRabim is a platya. So the Rash, the Bir Hetev over here, Simon Shimim Hesiv Kan Zayin, quoting the name of the Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh, that a platya is any plaza. Even if it has walls, a big shopping plaza like Times Square, that even if it has walls, even if it would be surrounded entirely by walls, all Manhattan would be surrounded by walls, or Moshe argues in Igros Moshe, that's a platya, and the Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh says that you can never render that area Rishus HaYochid. It's always considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. It's like the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim, even if it's surrounded by walls. That was one of the reasons that Rabbi Moshe Osterd using the Eruv in Manhattan, not like Flatbush because it's too dense of a population, but because people are going to come here and think you can carry and go home to their suburban places where there is no Eruv, or because of this Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh. Others argue that the Rashba never made it into the Shulchan Aruch. He missed the cut. You know, it's brought in the Be'er Heitei, but it's not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So it must be we don't paskin like this Rashba. But the Rashba is an issue. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa discusses this with regards to the Kotel Plaza. It says, how could you have an Eruv at the Kotel Plaza? That should be the platya of the Rashba, even if there is a walls around it, should be considered to be like Machane Yehuda, should be considered to be a plaza, a big thoroughfare, and you cannot render Rishus HaYochid. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman, there's a difference between a shopping plaza versus a big shul. And he claims that the plaza right now is a big shul, and that's not that's a thoroughfare of religiosity, and therefore that doesn't count. It's only if it's used for shopping or other types of activities. The other detail that's mentioned over here in Siv Zayin is that in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, it cannot have delosos. If there are delosos, ne'ulos belaila, then it's not a Rishus HaRabim. And this halacha is expanded upon in Shimon Shin, Samach Dalet Siv Beis, that Rishus HaRabim ain't a ma'arva elo bedelosos. The Gemara says, Masech Tzeirvin. You can only be Ma'arev Rishus HaRabim if you put doors around it. That Rishus HaRabim, you can only make an Erev if you put actual doors. Tzuras HaPesach is not good by Rishus HaRabim. We'll get to that in a second. So Mishnah Berurah quotes in Shimon Shin Samach Dalet Sifka and Vav, how many doors do you need to render it not a Rishus HaRabim? Let's say you have heavy traffic, Tazayin Ama, Eino Makura, but there are doors. Well, how many doors disqualify it from being a Rishus HaRabim? So Mishnah Berurah has two opinions. You need one door on one end, or you need two doors on either end of the road. Two doors, maybe one door. Then the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. Do you need Dulasos Neulos Balailo, or is it enough with Ru'uyos Lino? The Rambam held Ru'uyos Lino, because this whole halacha of Osu Rabim U'mavatel Mechitzta that come through is only the Rabbanon. So anyway, he held it's enough with Ru'uyos Lino. The other Rishonim held no, you need Dulasos Neulos Balailo. How should we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah holds we need Dulasos Neulos Balailo. However, the later Achronim, the Avnei Nezer, says, since we're not sure, maybe you need Shishim Ribo, maybe you don't, and we don't have Shishim Ribo, so maybe you need Shishim Ribo, maybe you don't. One suffix. And another suffix, you need Losas Ne'ulas Balai, or it's enough with the Ru'uyos Lino, so we could be Mako on our streets where there are no Shishim Ribo, that it's enough with Ru'uyos Lino. Based on the Sveik Sveika. Maybe we need Shishim Ribo, and we don't have Shishim Ribo, and even if you don't, maybe it's enough with Ru'uyos Lino, so because of that, the later Achronim are Mako with Ru'uyos Lino. A Sveik Sveika. What does Ru'uyos Lino mean? It can be closed. So the Avnei Nezer says, yeah, but it has to be, not only can it be closed, it has to be closed once a year. And it quotes like that from the Gemara Masechta the Zivam, it's an entirely different context, that the sandal shel chalitza has to be Roy Lino. Roy Lino by a door means that it can be closed. Roy Lino by a shoe means that it can be worn. But he draws a comparison between the two, that just like a sandal shel chalitza has to be able to be worn by the Shliach Beis Din, and it means like once at least, so to the doors of the Rishus HaRabim have to be able to be closed, he says, to suggest once a year. What if the government won't let you close them? You can put up all the doors you want, you know, as we saw from the George Washington Bridge yesterday, you can't just close off a street, then people, you know, it's not going to last. So you need to close it off. The government won't let you close it if you get arrested. So he has a machlekes, the Avnei Nezer is a machlekes again between himself and Rabbi Yeshua LeKutner and the Yeshua's Malkoi. Is that good enough or not? Yeshua's Malkoi held that if the government won't let you close it, that's no good. And Avnei Nezer held as long as you do close it once a year, even though generally you can't. Let's say you could obtain permission to close it once at 3 in the morning. So that's fine, even though generally speaking you can't close it. That's still called Roy Lino, as long as you close it once a year. And Yeshua's Malko held, you have to be able to close it whenever you want. It can't just be that you're only able to close it when you pull all your strings and, you know, get to be able to close it once a year. This comes up because when they first built the Erev on the cross Amsterdam Avenue, after Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik passed away, so Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Tendler were both involved, and Rabbi Tendler was machmer for Rabbi Moshe, that in Manhattan is Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, he demanded that they put Delosois on either end of Amsterdam Avenue. So you have, there's one Delosois, one Deres. I think it's, we're going to see it, Mitzvah on Sunday. We'll take a tour, you'll see it. Looks like a bazooka cannon or something. So there's one end of Amsterdam Avenue, there's one at the other end. But what if they don't have doors? You've never seen an accordion door there, Rabbi. So what it is that inside this canister, they had it custom made, is like a tennis net. And it could extend across the street. That was his Delosos. And he printed this. It's printed, I think, in Noam, one of the journals about Tendler's Delosos. So Rabbi Shechter was opposed to it because Rabbi Shechter held him in hand. It's not Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to it in 1 second because of his argument with the Chazon Ish. You can build Erev in Manhattan. Rabbi Shechter is one of the major proponents, or at least who feels you can build Erev in Manhattan. But Rabbi Tendler was being mocked for Rabbi Shechter. So Rabbi Shechter was just opposed to it. You know, it was like, viscerally, so he didn't believe that we need it, so therefore he was opposed to it. But then he argued that it's no good. Even Lishitasa, it's no good. The Delosos don't solve any problems. Why not? Because the Shari Tshuva and Simon Shin Samach Gimel of Katan Yud Beis writes with regards to a drawbridge that a drawbridge is not called Delosos HaRu'uyos Lino. Let's say you would have the road itself would come up and form a door. Shari Tshuva says that's no good because when it goes down, there's no more door. In order to be called Delosos HaRu'uyos Lino, the Delos has to always exist. It can't just be like you stand up, there's no lap. So, you know, you put the drawbridge down, there's no more door. That's no good. It has to be that it's always a door. So, even if it's Roy Lino, it has to be a door while it's open. Shechter argued these tennis nets that are rolled up in the canisters are like the drawbridge. There's no door here anymore once you roll it up in the canister. So that is no good. Besides the fact that the government won't let you close them, That's another issue. So, I mean, Schefter was not happy with the losses.
Did he ever close it?
Huh?
Did he ever
close it? I don't know. We can talk to him. I don't know the history of it. I never asked him. I always meant to, but I never got around to it.
Why are they like the drawbridge? They're separate from the...
Yes, but there's no mechitza. It's a canister. Here, Schefter held the door has to exist even when it's open.
I believe the door would fold up, then there wouldn't be...
It's an accordion door also. It wouldn't be called Dulasos Aruyas Lino. Yeah, because it closes up. With regard to this issue of Dulasos, and this comes up Lamaisa, is when it's Ruyas Lino and it's open, does that mean that there's nothing residually left? Or perhaps you have to have a Suras HaPesach still there? So that was a machlokes between the Chazanish and the Chassam Sofer. Rav Shechter mentioned a few times the Chazanish has a whole siman in a sefer. We just disagreed with different truths in the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer held, once you have real delosos, let's say they're really closed at night. Where do you have such a thing? So I had it. I was building an Erev in, you can have it anywhere, but it happened to be I was building Erev in Indianapolis, and we were using a fence as part of a school, which is always very cheap. It's great. You know, school builds this huge fence around their big campus, and high school, public school, and big fence. We were using it as part of our Erev, unbeknownst to them. But and they had a big, though, opening for the school buses to get through. But they had a gate, which they literally, Tlosos Neulos Belila, they closed it at night. But in the winter time, they had extracurricular activities late into the afternoon, the evening, football games and whatever, and the doors were open. They were closed later that night, but the doors were open. So some Sefer holds, that's called Tlosos Aruyos Lino, and that's fine. The door is all there, you know, the sliding gate. Dlosos Aruyos Lino, Chassam Sefer held that's okay. The Chazanish disagrees, and he holds even when the Dlosos Aruyos Lino, when it's open, there has to be residual Tzuras HaPesach there. Otherwise, there's nothing. When it's open, there's garnished. It could be it's a conceptual machlekes about how to understand Dlosos, but we'll leave that for another time. The Chazanish holds you have to have residual Tzuras HaPesach there, so we couldn't use that. We had to figure out some other different solution, because there was no Tzuras HaPesach there. Okay, so ein Rishus HaRab Ma'arav El B'Dulasos. Rishus HaRab can only be Ma'arav with Dulasos. Why is that? So there's a Machlaikis in the Gemara Masechtas Erevin Adav Chabez Amid Aleph that Machlaikis in Rabbanan and Reb Yehuda about Osu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. The case that they're discussing is, the last issue we'll discuss today, is Pasi B'Ros. Pasi B'Ros was a unique heta that was made for the early Regalim to be able to get water. There was a well in the middle, and you wanted to be able to take water out of the well. The problem is that the well is a Rishus HaYachid, and you're standing over here in Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelist. How are you going to take water out of the well and drink it? So there was a heter, midaraisa, based on halacha Moshe Messina, Pasi B'Ros. If you have corners, even if there's big breaks in between, then you're allowed to carry in the enclosed area. But what happens if you have traffic going through the Pasi B'Ros? So does that disrupt the Pasi B'Ros and allow you no longer to carry here? So that was a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda about Asu Rabim Umevatl Mechitzta. Rabbi Yehuda held Asu Rabim Umevatl Mechitzta, and the Rabbanan held Loi Asu Rabim Umevatl Mechitzta. The Rabbim that come through do not negate the wall. So the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the more machmir opinion that holds Asu Rabim Umevatl Mechitzta, that's only if you need the Mechitzta Midoraisa. These Pasi B'Ros were necessary Midoraisa. But if you don't need the Mechitzta Midoraisa, even Rabbi Yehuda would not say Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. So based on that, Tosfos says, and the Beis Ephraim writes that this is what our Erevin are based on, as long as you're not dealing with a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, he extended to a Carmelist, as long as you're not dealing with a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, you only need the wall of Midrabanan, we would not say Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. So the first thing that you need to do in terms of building a community Erev is make sure you don't have any Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisas within, closed within the area. So according to Rabbi Schefter, highways, train tracks are all a problem, but other poskim might disagree. But you have to make sure you're not dealing with an area which is the Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So that's why Ramosha Sheet about Rishus HaRabim is so relevant, because the major premise upon which all Erevin are built is you have to assume that there's no Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa here. Otherwise, we would say Asu Rabim Umevatl Mechitzta. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand very well why Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arve El B'Dilosois. You need real doors that are closed at night, because then there's no traffic that's going through. There's no Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta because there are doors there. But what about according to the Rabbanan, who disagree? They hold Loi Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. They hold Loi Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. So why is Rishus HaRabim only Ma'arva Elo B'Dilosois? Why do I need doors? If loy osu rabim, again, the Rabbanan held over here, loy osu rabim mevatel mechitza. So according to Yehuda that it comes through and it's mevatel this, I understand why it's just a rabim, you need doors. But according to the Rabbanan, that you don't say osu rabim mevatel mechitza, the possibly rolls are intact. How come Eirush Haram El Ma'arel with the losses? Why can't I use the Tzuras HaPesach? So the Tosis explains that it's because even according to the Rabbanon, you need what's called over here Shem Dalet Mechitos. Even the Rabbanon holds, the only time we say Loy Osu Rabbanon Mevatel Mechitza is because you have four Mechitzos here, which are significant Mechitzos. A real Mechitza, a bona fide Mechitza, possibly Rose. It's what the Rishonim call Mechitzos Brios. But a Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza grua. That's less than pasiv yiros. You know, the pasim around the be'er. So according to the Rabbanan, by a Tzuras HaPesach, even though they generally hold loy osu rabim mevatel mechitza, by a Tzuras HaPesach they would hold osu rabim mevatel mechitza. So therefore, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether you hold osu rabim mevatel mechitza by the pasiv yiros or not, you cannot be a ma'arva rishus harabim unless you have doors. Tzuras HaPesach is not good enough. Either because here, it's mechitzos gruos, and we'll say asu rabim mevatel mechitza even according to the Rabbanan, or because we say asu rabim mevatel mechitza in general. The only time we don't is when it's only a karmelis. There will be one nafkamina between whether we pass like a Yehuda or we pass like the Rabbanan, and that's the issue of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is, which is literally the last thing for today, which is the Chazon Ish is Arab in Manhattan, or in Paris, which is what he was discussing. We had buildings all over. Let's say 185th Street when it was still a road. So it ended in the gym. And you have first floor and all the apartment buildings over here. So you have walls for the most part on three sides, here and here and here. So the Chazon Ish, this is Oymed Meruba Al HaParetz. This is for the most part the Rishus HaYachid Deiraisa. And therefore you just put Tzuras HaPesach here and here and here and here. And you can enclose this area. Why don't we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza on Amsterdam Avenue? That it breaks up these Tzuras HaPesach. So the Chazon Ish held, because we paskin loy osu rabim mevatel mechitza, we paskin like the Rabbanan. The only reason you need, you can't build a community area for the Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa is because Tzuras HaPesach is mechitza's gruos. But really, we paskin loy osu rabim mevatel mechitza. Oyme meruba laparetz is not mechitza's gruos. That's mechitza's brios. And therefore, you don't say asu rabim mevatel mechitza. That doesn't come and break up my oyme meruba laparetz. And those who are opposed to the Chazon Ish, like Rav Moshe, like Rav Aaron, Cutler, who all disagreed with this Chazon Ish and they're opposed to building an Erev in Manhattan, hold, like Rav Yehuda, that we paskin osu rabim mevatel mechitza. The only time we paskin, we say lo osu rabim, is if you only need the mechitza min derabbanan. But these mechitzas are necessary min deraisa, because this is a peer to yes and yes and things. So since this Rishus HaRabim breaks up the Oymei Meruba HaParetz, and we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. So they hold you don't even have Oymei Meruba HaParetz here because you have Rishus HaRabim going through. And the Chazon Ish says no, you have Oymei Meruba HaParetz, and therefore Rishus HaRabim doesn't go through. It's kind of like a vicious cycle. Do you start with the Rishus HaRabim? Do you start with the Oymei Meruba? But the basic machlokes boils down to: do we paskin Asu like Rabbi Yehuda Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza? Do we paskin like Rabbanan Loy Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza? And that was the machlokes of Chazon Ish and Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Same machlekes about building an Erev in Manhattan, which really traces its way all the way back to the Mishkanes Yaakov and the Beis Ephraim. Mishkanes Yaakov held to be passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza in the Beis Ephraim, held Loy Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. But it all has its basis over here. Okay, Shkenech.